Overcoming rejection. Have you ever had someone walk by you and not even notice you? Someone that you deemed important, someone that you valued. It hurts, doesn't it? That happened recently with someone I'd hoped to acknowledge me with a kind greeting and yet once again ignored me. It brought up all those feelings of hurt and rejection, worthlessness and insignificance, all because someone didn't greet me warmly. This can happen in the course of our lives in many different ways. A parent seems to value another sibling over us. Who hasn't heard or said, "You like my brother more than me"? It seems this can be said even if our hair has turned gray. Or perhaps our boss ignores the work we've put into a project or day-to-day tasks and instead piles on more pressure and responsibilities. Or a pastor favors one person over us, even though that person seems to give little to the life and health of the church, making us feel ignored or left out. These are feelings we've all had from one time or another, and some of us deal better with it than others. One survey indicates that one half of all American workers left positions because they felt unappreciated, and currently two-thirds feel their employers don't notice their efforts. I chuckled, however, when one author recommended that to get noticed, you should dress boldly, boast about your work, and make a noise by seeking conflict. Well, I wouldn't advise this approach, as all these behaviors are likely to cause more harm than good. Nonetheless, feeling left out or ignored can be a painful reality and negatively impact our engagement in our families, work, and church. Says licensed therapist Jenny Walters, being around anyone who refuses to hear our ideas at family meetings, work projects, or Bible studies, leaving us out of organized gatherings, or talking over us or about themselves, are all signs of those who minimize, dismiss, invalidate, or ignore our feelings, and rather than a sign of our insufficiency, may indicate that they are emotionally unavailable to others. Blog writer and author of The Empath's Journey commented on her own experience, saying that struggling with a recent incidence of a rejection brought up old wounds of not being understood and not being seen. Instead of taking it personally, however, she came to realize that others couldn't validate me because they genuinely didn't see these things. Instead, she started to see that her sensitivity deepened her understanding of the world around them, and their lack weakened theirs. Forbes journalist Carolyn Kerstrelin recommended some helpful advice when facing rejection, including reframing our negative thoughts, finding new meaning in what we do, focusing on our strengths, appreciating others, and talking to our boss. Although her advice came from a worldly business viewpoint, I found synergy to God's recommendations for us. Her first point was to consider our expectations. Is our desire to be noticed and valued in line with what is going on around us, or more in line with our own feelings of insecurity? Sometimes people strike bruises they don't even know we have. It isn't deliberate, but rather an indication of their own rushed and harried lifestyle and that they feel out of control. Do you remember Judas complaining about Jesus' willingness to receive Mary's sacrifice of expensive perfume? She was openly and generously expressing her thanksgiving for Jesus' resurrection of her brother Lazarus. Judas saw this very differently and grumbled. That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold, he said, and money given to the poor. But we're told he didn't care for the poor. He was a thief, and since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole from them. So we need to think, are we correctly viewing the behavior of others, or are we seeing it through a lens that is tainted by our own needs and hurts and desires? Kerstrelin next recommends that we validate our self-worth. That seems to be an oft-repeated advice to pat ourselves on the back and say, "How proud I am of me." Well, this flies in the face of God advising us to be humble, and He will lift us up in honor. He promises to rescue the humble, but humiliate the proud, and keeps His distance from the proud, but crowns the humble with victory. Our Heavenly Father validates our worth throughout Scripture and through the life and death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. He says that He has loved us with an everlasting love and demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That through His great, inestimable love, we are called children of God. We do not need to look to others to validate our worth, but to the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ. Christillin advises that we reframe our negative thoughts. And that's something that Paul advises the Philippians, telling them to fix their thoughts on what is true and honorable, right and pure, lovely and admirable. Think about these things, he says, that are excellent and worthy of praise. Then the God of peace will be with you. It's easy to let our thoughts become mired by the mud of the world, for there's lots of it out there. But God wants our thoughts centered on who He is and what He thinks about us. For our thoughts never match His. That's why we need to wear the helmet of salvation, or our thoughts will be dominated by the worries of this world instead of the provisions and love of God, which will guard our minds. Christillin advises that we review our accomplishments and focus on our strengths. The Apostle Paul appears to do this in his letter to the Philippians, declaring his preeminence as a zealous Pharisee. But he tempers his accomplishments by saying, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, he says, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Although we can remember what we've accomplished, it should always be coupled with our recognition that God is the one who made it possible in the first place, and praise Him for it. Christillin's advice to find new meaning in our work can be considered similar to Jesus' counsel to let rivers of living water flow from our hearts. It requires us to be reminded that God's plans for us are for good, not disaster, giving us a future and a hope. God is all about making things new, and it starts with us. He's also keen on giving us a fresh perspective on who He is and on what He has made us to do. And we need to be willing to make an investment in His kingdom for all the talents that He's given us. What about our advice to take an interest in others? Paul continuously opens his letters to the churches with his love and appreciation for them. For instance, he tells the Thessalonians, we always thank God for you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think about your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was always quick to commend those who blessed him and blessed others. Yet he wanted them to learn the importance of this appreciation, telling the Philippians bluntly and boldly, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others. Finally, her advice to talk to our boss is best of all. We need to come to Jesus, for He listens, and He wants to hear our voice and wants to hear our worries, and then He can answer us with His love and grace. The key lesson here is not to get tripped up by what others do or think about us. If we spend our lives desiring the notice or claim of others, we will always be disappointed, for their accolades and interest really means little in eternity. Although others may think we don't measure up, their few doesn't determine our worth. God has already decided that by sending His Son to die on our behalf. His life and sacrifice affirms for us that He's declared us worthy of everlasting life through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, and affirms this daily with His pronouncement of love and mercy. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God, and we can take refuge in the shadow of your wings. For the Lord will not reject His people. He will never abandon His special possession. God bless you, beloved. You are worthy because He has loved you. In Jesus' name, amen.